I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is April 23rd of this year. I do have a sponsor. So let's just jump right into it. I wish I had known I was going to speak because, oh well, it is what it is. So I started drinking. I had my first drink when I was about 8 years old. I grew up in an Italian family. So like anytime we'd have family gatherings, like, oh, you're old enough to walk, here's a glass of wine, like start drinking early. And that transformed into me drinking without them being there. So I would sneak into the liquor cabinet at night, grab the bottle of wine, and just drink it because it tasted good and I liked the way it felt. I felt after. And then when I got into high school, I started drinking a lot. By the time I was 13, I was showing up to school drunk because, like, I didn't really have a good home life. I was physically and mentally abused. And so I was just like, I want to feel normal. And I felt normal when I drank. And so that's when I started doing that. And by the time I graduated high school, I was, had like cases of beer in my truck for after school. I could just start drinking. I would bring flasks into school and drink during and after class. I actually got caught once by my principal and he goes, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I told him, "You don't know anything about me. Let me have my whiskey back." And then I joined the Marines. And I can't speak for the entire Marine Corps, but for my unit, we got alcohol hazed. When I first got to my unit, one of my seniors, which is the guy who's been there longer, came up to me and was like, "You're new. Here's a bottle of Crown and a bottle of Jack. You have 10 minutes to finish it, or I'm going to..." What's the appropriate way to say this? "Break you down." And the nicer way to say it. And then so, like, it turned into, like, literally an everyday thing. For the first 3 months I was there, every night, somebody was coming to my room, was like, "Here, drink this, or we're going to go run 12 miles, and then you're going to drink it." And it got to the point where I was just, like, expecting them to come in. I got excited. I was like, for the last 3 months, I haven't had to buy alcohol. Like, I'm drinking for free. It's not all that fun, but I'm drinking for free at this point. And then I started, like, they stopped doing that after we went on deployment. And so I was kind of upset. I was like, "Fuck, not going to buy my own alcohol? Like, what the hell?" Sorry, language. But we would go do morning PT and we would run, 8 to 12 miles every morning. Everybody else had water in their Camelbacks, which was like just like our water source to drink out of while we're running. I had vodka. And I was like, man, nobody's like suspecting a thing. Like, I'm just running and running and running. Until one day, our battalion commander decided to run with us. And I was a squad leader, so I led four other fire teams, which consist of like 12 to 16 people. And he comes up to me. It was like, "Hey, C-Corps, let me get some of your water. I just ran out." I was like, "No, sir." He goes, "Why?" I was like, "I'm almost out." He goes, "So you're telling me that if we were in battle and all I needed was water to survive, you would not give it to me because you're almost out?" I was like, "I didn't say that. You did." And he gets like 2 inches from my face and he's like, "Give me your fucking water right now." I go, "Sir, respectfully, no." And he goes, "What's that on your breath?" I go, "A mint." I couldn't think of anything. Like, not, looking back on it, like, that was probably like the stupidest answer to say, "A mint." And he opened up my Camelback and dipped his finger in and tasted it and then proceeded to make me run 15 miles with no water or vodka, which I was upset about. So there was that. And, you know, I had pretty close calls when I was in the Marines drinking. I got an ARI, which is an alcohol-related incident, because I decided it was okay for me to jump off the second story of my barracks building onto a bunch of mattresses, with the battalion commander again walking around. And my friends knew. They just wanted to see me get fucked up, because that was our thing. Like, it was funny to watch somebody else get fucked up, but messed up, sorry. But if it was you, it's not that funny. And so I got two ARIs, one for jumping off the barracks, and then two for, I don't even remember this, but it was written down, I was apparently streaking around the barracks. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. I wasn't. And then I got in an accident. I was coming back from LA, and I was already tired, but I was also drunk. And I fell asleep at the wheel, crossed over four lanes of traffic, hit a telephone pole, Dukes of Hazzard, a sand dune, and landed in a driveway. And, like, I came to, I was like, am I home? Like, I didn't, like, it's like, oh. And then I look around, I'm like, oh, I was in an accident. And then I passed out again. And when I woke up, these people from this Airbnb, because there's an Airbnb in the middle of the desert for some reason, were coming up to me like, bro, are you okay? And I was like, you know, I don't know. I'm here, so probably not. And then I got, you know, by the grace of God, like, the highway patrol came, and they didn't breathalyze me, because if they had breathalyzed me, I would have gone to jail. And I was very grateful for that. I called my sergeant. I was like, hey, I just got in an accident. And he was like, are you okay? You're not dead? And I was like, I wouldn't be calling you if I was dead. He goes, where are you at? I'm like, at the hospital. He goes, oh, it's that bad. I'm like, okay. He's like, well, see you Monday. I was like, all right, cool. I get back Monday. I get in trouble for getting into a car accident, which, you know, I didn't think was possible. Like, oh, well. So I then go on my second deployment. I come back. While I was on my second deployment, I got hurt from an accident I got into while I was in Afghanistan. And I come back, you know, and I'm training for snipers, and I completely tear my ACL, my MCL, my PCL. And so I ended up having two knee surgeries for the ACL and the MCL and PCL. And they, you know, they gave me, you know, drugs, but I didn't take them. I was like, I'm just going to drink the pain away. Like, it works mentally, so it should work physically, right? And in the moment of my drunken stupor, I thought I was Iron Man. It could walk 2 days after surgery. I found out very quickly that apparently you can't do that. And I re-tore my ACL. Yeah, it's not good. They weren't very happy about that. They asked me what happened. I was like, I slipped going down the stairs. They're like, no shot. I was like, you're right, I was drunk. They're like, all right. And then I got medically separated. And my drinking at this point was, I thought it was controllable. My family thought otherwise. They were always telling me I'm drinking too much. I was like, Dad, you're sober. You don't know what drinking is anymore. Yeah, no, I wasn't the nicest person. And so I started drinking a lot more. I ended up getting a job at a bar, bouncing. And when I wasn't bouncing, I was drinking there. And I would, before I went to work, I would start drinking. I would go across the street to the bar, and I knew the bartender very well. He's one of my buddies from high school. He would line me up three shots of Rumplemans and bring me a Michelob. So, like, I just take the edge off, you know, before I had to work around all these UT kids. No offense, but to anybody who went to UT. So, like, I thought that was normal. Like, I was like, I'm sure everybody does this before they go to work. I'm sure everybody, you know, keeps a flask in their boot when they go to school, or keeps a flask in their back pocket when they're at work. Like, I'm sure that's normal, right? It's like everybody does it. And I would, like, take pulls at work. I'd look around, make sure nobody's, like, my managers aren't around, and just take a quick pull. And one of my friends was like, "What is that?" And I was like, "That's water." You know, resorted back to being in the Marines. I was like, "It's water." They're like, "Okay." I was like, "Ooh, close one." I quit that job because it took time away from me drinking, because I'd be working on the days I'd wanted to drink. So I didn't want to work for a little bit, you know, and so I was there 7 days a week from 4 p.m. to close. And, you know, God tried to send me a sign. He was like, he sent it through the resident drunk, the guy that has been coming there for 13 years straight, there when we open, there when we close. Like, I was like, at this point, you just need to rent the break room in the back. Like, it'd be better for you. He told me that he thought I was drinking too much. And I told him to shut his mouth. I was like, "You've been coming here every day for the last 13 years. I'm only on 2 months. Like, you need to go to AA. I'm good." And he was just like, "Whatever." And then come this past year, in March, I was out with my buddies celebrating his birthday, because I had just gotten a job with the county, and so I had to work on his actual birthday. And so we went out to, you know, Hyde Park Cafe, because they did their, you know, happy hour, and we knew the manager, or the one of the bartenders, because he was a manager at the bar I worked at, so he let us start drinking early. So we started drinking at 8 o'clock. We didn't leave till 11, and from what my friend told me, I had 20 Jack and Cokes and like 10 or 12 mixture of shots. I don't remember. Like, I recently just found a video from that night, and I was like, "Oh, wow, okay. I don't remember that." And this is why. After we left that bar, I was on crutches because, you know, drunk Taylor the week prior thought it was okay to fight somebody in flip-flops. And I'd like to think I still won, but I broke my ankle. So take that as you will. I think I won. But and so we're crutching to the next bar. My buddy's friend pulls up, was like, "Hey, you know, your buddy's on crutches. Do you just want to ride with us?" I don't remember the conversation. This, like, everything next that I'm about to tell you is all what my buddy said happened. So we get in the bed of this guy's truck, you know, and we're driving to McDitton's. And apparently the dude just decided to be an asshole that night. So he floored it, slowed down, and then floored it again. And on the second time he floored it, I flew through the tailgate onto the road at 40 miles an hour, and which put me in a coma for a month and killed me 3 times. And everybody's like, "Oh, do you remember anything from your coma?" I was like, "Yeah." And like, I thought this was hilarious, because I want to preface this, like, I have no problems with this person, all right? I had a dream that I shot DaBaby in the face with a 12 gauge because he broke into my house, and I woke up from my coma. It was like, I feel like I need to apologize to DaBaby. Like, I did. Like, I don't know. Like, I was out of it. And then I also, my best friend, who passed away in January, came to me in my dream, which I'm pretty assuming is one of the times that, you know, I'd stopped breathing or, you know, died. He told me, he's like, "It's not your time yet. Stop being a wuss," in nicer, appropriate terms, "and get the fuck up." And I'd like to think I'd woken up at that moment. I don't know. But and then so the doctors told me, it's like, "Hey, you can't drink again or you could die." And in that moment, I was like, "So what you're telling me is if I want to die, I can get really fucked up one last time. He goes, no, Taylor, that's not what I'm saying. I was like, but it is, though, if you think about it. And he was like, no. And then the next day, the suicidal prevention team from TGH came into my room. And they're like, are you feeling suicidal? I was like, no, not right now. Ask me tomorrow. And, you know, apparently they don't know how to take a joke. Because they came back the next day. But so that's what brought me here. You know, they were like, you can't drink ever again. And, you know, minus all the joking, you know, I was like, I really took a look at my life and I was like, you know what? Like, yeah, like I quit a job so I could drink more. Like, that's not normal. And, you know, my dad being in recovery, I went to him and I was like, I think I need to go to AA. And he looked me dead in the eye and was like, no shit. I was like, you knew? He goes, I've told you this many a times. You just don't listen. I was like, yeah, I am your son. This runs in the family. And so recently, you know, I was dealing with a bunch of stuff mentally. And I didn't trust myself not to drink. So I took go to any length very literally. I checked myself into White Sands because I did not trust myself not to drink. I couldn't trust myself to my own devices because I would have. I have no doubt about it. And so I was there for 17 days and they were like, oh, you're not fucked up enough to be here anymore. We're going to send you to IOP. And so now I'm in Hyde Park, you know, doing my IOP, being able to leave and come back to this meeting. I was very excited to come back to this meeting, actually. But I realized, like, there was a lot of things that I wasn't doing when I was getting sober the first time. Not sober the first time, but, like, going through, you know, my steps. I wasn't taking it, like, I was doing it halfway. Because I was more focused on recovering from my brain injury than focusing on my recovery, which I could have done both. I was just like, I wanted to play like, oh, I forgot to take out the trash brain injury card. Like, I just didn't want to do anything. But like, and so I checked myself in and now like I'm leading, you know, peer-led groups. Like we didn't have an AA meeting. We didn't go to an AA meeting last week for some reason. And, you know, I chaired the meeting and got to talk to get some good discussion from everybody. And, you know, I lead the focus group. And now, like, I'm more serious about it than I was. Like, I realized, like, I can't play the brain injury card anymore because, like, I need to focus on getting sober and getting right and, you know, getting back, you know, not back, what's the word I'm looking for? Getting good with my higher power again, because I found that to be very important. Because like he gave me not one, not two, but four chances at life, if you think about it. And I kind of just like neglected it a little bit, just was doing the same thing. But now I'm back, and hopefully I don't have to check myself back into rehab because that was not fun. Thank you for letting me share.